My name's Flick McCann. My own life is quite diverse, and I used to live in Pakistan. I lived there for a while in the 70s. Married a Muslim, then I married an African, so did my bit for the United Nations, I think. And that's where the peace came from. I was born in Glasgow a long time ago in the 50s, and my heart still belongs there, even though I've been to many other places. This piece is called Where I Live. Everybody had peely-wally skin where I grew up. Classrooms full of fiery red-headed wains, with a spattering of freckles. The answer to Andrew or Billy. The fairer sex were named Trisha or Mary. Running wild in back courts, their fathers and grandfathers, heroes for two world wars, had guaranteed Glaswegians their freedom. Religions were made up of chapel goers, and we frees, like my great granny Mary MacArthur, hailing for Kildalton, a parish in Islay. If you ate fish on a Friday, you were definitely a Catholic. Sticky, hot summer days, boys ran up and down the streets, kicking worn bladders, using their hand-knitted jumpers for goalposts, whilst lassies wearing top hose and pitter-pat sandals caught skipping ropes, singing, one, two, buckle my shoe. White cotton sheets billowed in the wind, held tightly by wooden clothes pegs. Men in checkered bonnets poured into the shipyards on the Clyde, hammering out magnificent vessels that sailed to exotic places. Women sat in workshops, cutting out 8 yards of tartan, hand-sewing kilts fit for chieftains. Porridge oats for breakfast, mince totties and dig-deep peas for our supper, washed down with gallons of stewed tea. Comedians Lex McLean, Francie and Josie performed live at the pavilion. Jokes about bigotry was rife, turning the air blue. Glasgow patter had folks rolling in the aisles with laughter. It's all changed now. Factories have become luxury flats and upmarket hotels. Only signs of the labour that went on inside are thick pillars standing in the middle of the floors. The shipyards lie silent, furnaces cold and rusty. Men and their sons tossed onto the scrap heap, producing nothing, out of their minds with booze and opium for the poppy fields of Afghanistan. Women caring for other folks' mothers and fathers, cooped up in all people's homes, nae mair looking after their own. Women stand at supermarket tills, scanning processed food, charging 30 pence for plastic bags that will end up choking fish in our rivers and seas. Like a giant melting pot, people of all nations pour into the place where I live. Mixed marriages take place. We wains are born with skin the colour of syrup. The classrooms are filled up with Muslims, Hindus, Jews, all born in the place where I live. We boys with Asian fathers, called Abdullah or Muhammad, white Scottish mothers, mixed heritage, they call it. Refugees from war-torn countries, flee Syria, Ukraine and Africa, bringing with them new languages. Salaam alaikum, pravit, jambo, different cultures, festival of colours, Eid and Hanukkah, spices and recipes for delicious meals, different ways. Bewildered by this strange new country, they are welcomed and given a home of their own. Housed in multi-storey blocks or docked cruise ships on the water of Leith. Some Scottish people resist this change, but it can't be stopped, diverse, fresh as the new blood pumping through its veins. My own three sons add to this vibrant landscape. Imran's father from Karachi in Pakistan, Joseph and John's dad all the way from Dodoma in East Africa. Joseph's wife Viri from Markali, a wee town south of Lake Balaton in Hungary. Then there's Dale, born in West Lothian, married to Jonathan in the autumn of 2021. And me from Glasgow, the dear green place where my heart will always live.
Okay, my name's Jacqueline Gilchrist. This is the first time I've ever done any recordings like this. I've been with the group on and off for a few years. The story is actually based in truth, me and my friend. We play in a brass band together. I have made a few recordings with the band, but I'm usually hiding behind my instrument, which is a baritone. The Advent Calendar Pub Crawl by Jacqueline M. Gilchrist. Red storm warning. Storm Arwen is on its way. Severe winds. Do not travel unless necessary. This was a message from the Met Office, late November 2021. Life was slowly getting back to normal after a very long lockdown. People were able to socialise in public. No more Zoom meetings. and brass band rehearsals had resumed. Except that night, as I hopped off the bus, St John's Church on Lillian Road was in darkness. Practice had been cancelled due to the weather. In the moonlight, Edinburgh Castle looked impressive from its elevated position guarding the city below. The trees were calm and still, not a movement from a single twig, and the stars shone brightly in the winter sky. There seemed no reason for the warnings, just the media scaremongering again. I decided to visit the band's local, the Fox and Fawn, instead, inviting my friend Philip to join me. As we blethered over a few drinks, Philip said, "I'd seen an advent calendar from a brewery with a can of beer for each day." "That's a brilliant idea. Are you getting one?" I responded. "No, too expensive, and only little cans," he replied with a shrug. "Let's visit a new pub each day of Advent instead," I declared. For me, a great way to revisit old haunts plus discover new ones, and for Philip, the chance to investigate the city he moved to just a few months before COVID stopped everything. Armed with pen and paper, we made a note of all the pubs we wanted to visit, quickly realising we had more than 24 pubs and not enough free days, as other plans had already been made with band, birthday nights out, and Philip going to Germany for Christmas. "Okay, a new pub a week instead until your contract ends," I suggested. Philip agreed, and the Advent Calendar pub crawl was born. We managed three of the pubs in December. Diggers on my birthday, my home local, traditional bar in Gorgie with a great range of beer and whiskey. Then the Antiquary and the Bailey in Stockbridge on his. Two places that Philip had passed during his lockdown walks and wanted to visit. During the first few months, many places still had limited space. Not quite the social scene that we'd hoped for, but still a good way to see more of the city. But only 2 days later, after playing Christmas carols at the Sick Children's tree lighting, we went to the Thistle Bar, the first of many bars we've been to that hadn't made the list. It's quite a small bar, and as we sat down with baritones in tow, folks started chatting to us from different tables. An old man asked, "What's in the cases?" When we explained about the instruments, a woman at another table said, "I played cornet when I was younger. Do you know the march, Sladesburn?" We then hummed a few bars of this popular Gala Day march. In early January, we were in the Blackbird, in the beer garden. Strangely, not as cold as you might imagine. It made me think of what an après-ski bar would be like, with heaters and blankets to keep folk warm. The weirdest part about this particular night was the walk home. Once we went our separate ways, I never passed another person. No traffic, just an eerily empty road. Very few lights were on in the tenements, no music or other signs of life. Almost as if the world had ended. Later that month, we spent a couple of evenings in the grass market. It was very quiet, which was nice, as we were able to see what pubs were like without hordes of people standing wherever a gap appeared, as it was in the past. We met other friends in the Bow Bar, another small traditional bar, who had a unique way to enforce the social distancing by filling seats with giant teddy bears. Then on to the Black Bull. One friend said, "Add the one in Mid Calder," which started the Black Bulls in Lothian spin-off pub crawl. During the Edinburgh Festival, we all met up there again. It was completely different. The sun was shining, people everywhere, and the grass market just like its old self, a regular meeting place, as it has been for many centuries. Fortunately, no longer a place for public hangings. A couple of pubs do still acknowledge this. The Last Drop and Maggie Dixon's, named after the infamous half-hanget Maggie. We have been to a few areas in the city and beyond. There are a variety of venues from small cosy locals to the overly decorated who fill every nook and cranny, including the ceiling, with all sorts of eclectic objects. And from the everyday basic pubs to boutique hotel bars. We have wandered around various museums and galleries, with a wee rest in the taverns and the wines and closes along the way. We have not yet completed our original list, but we have found many more places on the way. Even as far as Fife, spending the day at Burnt Island's Highland Games, to Dunbar for an exhibition, and spending some time out just watching the Firth of Forth glistening in the sun. Some places have become new favourites, and others definitely not to be revisited. But you can decide for yourself.
Hello, my name's Hilary Birch. In this piece, I'm trying to get at the double-sided nature of Edinburgh. On assignment with Glenda. That spring, Glenda was sent out to West Pilton to train up the social work department in the new computer system. This was the first time she'd been out to the schemes, and it was a bit of a shock to her system. Firstly, her car was in the garage for its MOT, and so she was forced to take the bus. Two buses, actually, the good old 23 to Princes Street, and then a 29, which, according to the bus map, would take her through the new town and Stockbridge before turning north towards the vast expanse of council housing known as the Schemes. The passengers on the 29 seemed harmless enough, she thought, inspecting them warily from the privacy of the back seat. And the scenery was certainly impressive. As the bus bounced its bone-shaking way down the cobbles of the new town, she found many sights to delight her. Rank upon rank of black iron railings mounting proudly up to highly polished front doors, so many gleaming brass knockers and elegant fanlights, so many swagged and pelmeted bay windows boasting Tiffany lamps, grand pianos, stargazer lilies in crystal vases. She glimpsed chandeliers, giant mirrors, sculptures, paintings. Oh, was that an Anne Redpath over the fireplace, she marvelled, as the bus juddered by. When they stopped to let an old lady with a fur coat and shopping trolley clamber painfully on board, Glenda had plenty of time to watch a middle-aged couple at their dining table, the woman tucking into her breakfast croissant, the husband with his back to the window, reading The Scotsman while sipping his coffee. It's like a scene from a play, she thought. Stockbridge, though tatty and the street far too narrow for a double-decker bus, had a quaint village atmosphere and lots of inviting coffee shops and bistros. Not as nice, she thought loyally, as Morningside, but maybe worth a visit one weekend for a glass of wine and some nibbles, and a good rummage in the charity shops. She'd never seen so many. Look, there was Oxfam and Shelter and, oh, her favourite, Chest, Heart and Stroke, where you could get designer labels. But all too soon the bus left the shops and playing fields behind and puttered on past the hospital, the small luxury flats and the arms manufacturers into a wasteland of gaunt council houses. Why were they all painted the colour of cold porridge, she wondered. Why did they all look like bruised fists? Faceless warehouses appeared, and tall glass office buildings fronted by landscaped aprons of plastic grass. A parade of shops that looked like a nuclear bunker, its windows encased in steel plates. Next to it was a church, kitted out with a security fence 3 metres high, topped with razor wire. On the horizon loomed a huge gasometer. Glenda consulted the map to make absolutely sure she knew where she was going. Yes, the social work department's local office was here on the main road next to the community centre and the housing department. You couldn't miss them. All these municipal buildings were constructed like high security prisons, with a handful of windows high up in the harled walls. Painting the outside ointment pink with emerald green trim had not been enough to dispel the sense of an outpost under siege. As she alighted from the bus, Glenda noticed that the air smelled different.
I'm Eleanor Tom, the Communities Writer in Residence for the Edinburgh International Book Festival. And I've been working with the I Write Writing Group in Tollcross on the theme of welcoming people to Edinburgh and Scotland. We're going to finish with three poems by writer Anne Hogarth. She wasn't able to perform these in person, so members of the group have read them on her behalf.
Anne writes beautiful traditional poems, some serious, some seriously silly. Enjoy.
Daydreamer. I wish I was a little brook, rippling by and by, over stones, round every nook, beneath the sunlit sky. By the hills, past trees and meadows, I'd see all nature pass. The birds would tell me all their sorrows, tales and stories of every class. I wish I was a little brook, flowing to the stream. I'd steal down by as any crook could steal by any dream. The bright green grass around me would walk down by my side, with sunbeams there to crown me and clear cool water to abide.
Night Watch. Hark, hark, how dark! Here comes the night. The moon in the sky is shining bright. The enchanting sea is seeming to say, I'll come in again another day. I'll come in again another day. The clouds in the sky are passing by. The bulrushes sway in the breeze. The moon in the sky is rising high, peeping in and out of the trees, peeping in and out of the trees. The hills beyond are dark and at peace. A lighthouse shines somewhere. A day has gone and sunshine deceased, and night warmth flows in the air, and night warmth flows in the air.
The flight of the seagulls. Over the seas and in the sky, the seagulls flutter and fly. We are free, we are free, they seem to cry. All over the land and sea, we are free. We'll talk to you as you come by, if you will join us in our cry. Don't weep, don't shout, don't panic, don't sigh. Relax and join us in our cry. Just spread your wings and learn to fly.
You've been listening to the third and final episode of a series of podcasts created by the I Write Writing Group, who meet weekly in Tollcross. You can download all three episodes on our blog at ontheroad.edbookfest.co.uk. Thank you for listening.